Okay, auf der Chantal von Lausanne, jetzt Lars von Luzern, which is quite close by, and my new employer in Switzerland, and I'm here, well, as I'm quite fresh new there, I'm going to present a lot of work in progress right now, and actually I want to understand this, and I would like to you to understand as a part of an open discussion. And a lot of questions from my side, and also maybe questions from your side. And at the end of this, maybe this will be some indication on where Radiant's maybe not as usable as it could be for end users, not from a scientific point of view. And at the same time, it might be a nice indication for where we could actually work in the future. And if I mean we, I don't want to point at Greg, because usually it's always him. So it's not the idea to make him work 48 hours a day. It's much more like a small university in Switzerland which would like to do something useful, but which would like to get some feedback before starting into the blue. Well, this is our environment. It's quite a nice area. It's quite sunny, shiny, high contrast. Well, so far for the lecture. What I'm going to show and what I would like to do is review the current workflows available. I can tell from the beginning that I will not consider the three-phase method. This has been done in deep detail before. I haven't used it, and the reason was simply we are also focusing on glare studies, and if I can't see the fenestration itself, I can't use it, so I didn't include it here. I would like to try to find missing pieces and obstacles in the current workflows as we have them. And I would like to propose and discuss fields of future development, whoever is doing that. The background and maybe the use case for us at the moment is an office space that we are occupying at the University of Lucerne. It's a big open space office. The sunshade system is, let's call it basic, it's a blind system, open or closed. The automatic control is working by closing at 100% at 12 o'clock, and then the electric lighting gets switched on. So we see some field of improvement there, and what we are currently doing is finding variants and proposing variants and studying them, and we're trying to make a good proposal for more informed alternative to what we have right now. As a general overview on the options we would have, where this is far from complete, it's a list of examples. Some are standing for full group or class of options, actually. We have the basic question about coatings or the glazing itself. We have different types of blinds, like spectral, diffuse blinds. We have this trend of getting them more and more small and integrated into double glazing or triple glazing or whatever it is. And we have, of course, the question of control, which is not really that much handled in the core of Radiance, but which is also a topic in scripting it. We have the option of light shells. Light shells in this context is everything acting as a reflector for me. So I'm looking at flat light shells right now, but they could be concentrators, deconcentrators. Light pipes are kind of the same family of devices. And there we have to care about the orientation, the reflective properties, which is a tricky part of it, and of course the shape, which is defining the algorithms we have available at the moment. And we have a very wide field of sun shading and sun control products, which are fabrics, which are usually not that much considered in our current presentations, I find. And I think it's quite an important part of daylighting, because all these translucent and not really transparent materials, they are so hard to identify and to really to describe. And they are everywhere, and they're here kind of, and you find them really everywhere in fenestration. So I think having a close look at these properties, how to get them, how to define them, and how to treat them in Radiance is worth doing so. Well, this is not really news to someone who's ever used Radiance. The ways we can kind of model them, we can treat them, we can have them in our simulations, like coatings. Most of us take the values from the glazing database and don't measure them, but sometimes we do so. And in the end, it's all fit into the glass model in Radiance, as long as we don't have to care for the reflection. Blinds for diffuse metal, this has been not a problem since 20 years now. We had MK-ILLUM, and that was a perfect way to treat them. is specular, it was always a good example for why gradients couldn't be used and for why tools such as a photo map had been developed, or GenBSDF is a typical example to show the capabilities of these extensions. Light shells, if flat, already have been supported in gradients for ages. If curved and exposed to direct sunlight, again, typical use cases for these extensions and gradients like forward ray tracing or BSDF, data-driven BSDF, or also for functional BSDF descriptions, which had their weaknesses in the ending calculation. Where with the photo map, we had the advantage that we could get around this problem. With BSDF, we have to kind of rely on GenBSDF and on its resolution, which has greatly improved with a variable resolution representation in the new XML format. And for fabrics, we have trends and actually nothing else, which is interesting again. So for coatings, I go through this very quickly. This is an example of a coating transmission. There's a front, the backside reflection, the transmission. Where we take them, we use them, we don't really care much about them in radiance because we usually don't have this factory resolved rendering anyways. So basically we calculate the transmissivity from it and nothing else. That's how we use it at the moment, and I will skip this here. Blind diffuse, again, has been solved, in my opinion. We have MKLM. We don't have MKLM anymore with climate-based rendering, which is for images in a scene like that. Is a kind of a problem because if I have such a scene with high detail, which I want to use for glass studies, so I cannot skip all the detail, I have rendering times which are taking for ages. And even if I can kind of leverage this using the new BSF type, which could in part replace this MKLM approach, I still cannot exclude all the exterior geometry from the ending calculation using BSDF. So it's still slow. The solution is just working for a scene where I don't have exterior inter-reflection calculations at all. So actually, I really miss MKLM when I'm doing this kind of climate-based simulations at the moment, because it's just, it was a very useful tool for this kind of detailed scenes. So this is, by the way, rendering of the office as it is at the moment. Actually, it's the desk I'm sitting at there, with a nice view on the lake of Lucerne. Specular blinds, as I said, were always a typical use case for the extension such as BSDF for photo maps. So the picture has been shown by Jan and it's, I think, 10 years old. So we could cover this, we could say this is covered in the solved topics in radiance. Where the question is actually how solved is this photo map integration into radiance and how well does it really work with BSDF, but all is covered in the presentations before. The topic, the system that I want to go into more detail because it's not been shown so far, is a system which is kind of acting similar to the specular blinds, but other than the specular blinds is not uniform over the surface of the fenestration area. So I have a light shelf. There's exactly one light shelf in my fenestration system. It is extruding out of the plane of the fenestration. And when my example is flat, so I can compare the different algorithms that we have available. If it would be curved, I couldn't include the classic backward ray tracing approach. So in my example, it works perfectly well with classic radiance backward ray tracing if I use a mirror, virtual light source for it. And in this model, I actually have the beauty of the good old times in radiance. What I have here is exactly the model as I would build it physically. It's a scale of a one-to-one model of the actual building I would propose. I don't have to interfere at any point in adding geometry or having pre-processes or modifying the orientation of some surfaces. So from a user point of view, if you really don't know what to expect from your simulation, if you want to run an experiment, this is the setup that you want to have. This is the model, and you don't know anything about it. You shoot your rays into it, and then you get some results. And then you can, in the next step, you can try to validate them. So for the classic radiance scene, but it's not a surprise, it works. The black sky, for your information, is simply because I skipped the whole sky background, because I really wanted to see the reflection from the direct sun. So the direct sun is entering the space at an altitude of 45 degrees. you get the clear patches on the ceiling, which are caused by the mirror modifier, which has been applied on the lightshelf. And this is kind of a plausible result. I have the direct transmission through the window, I have the splotches on the floor, and I could be quite happy with that. As I said, as long as the lightshelf stays flat. I can do the same with the photomap. The photomap has a big advantage here, that I can use any kind of shape for my lightshelf. I'm not bound to this flat geometry, but if I want to study variance, that makes a lot of sense. I could actually use the same model as I did before. However, to improve the performance of my rendering, I added the so-called photon ports, which is where it's marked here as a red translucent surface. So it's kind of directing the photons into the scene in the first step where I'm doing this forward photon distribution. If I would skip that, I would get valid results. It would just take some longer. The result, if I look at the result for the photon map, the first impression is it's a bit splotchier. The photon map always introduces a little part of noise into my rendering. This is, it can be reduced. You can simply increase the number of photons you shoot in there. You can modify the bandwidth. You will never have the same result as you had without the photon map, but the interesting thing for me here is you have the same bright splotches here and here. The values are the same, kind of. You have one stripe here, which wasn't there before, which is actually based on the fact that this frame is specular, and I didn't define it as a virtual light source because I didn't think about it. So this is a kind of the example where I get something in my result which was not expected to be there, which requires an algorithm which is generic enough to work without me preparing for it. So the advantage is this kind of really transparent algorithm. Disadvantage, the image doesn't look that nice. If I compare this to make some plausibility tests, I had two different aluminium options here. The one is a really clear mirror on the left. If I have a more scattering mirror material on the right, the splotches, of course, get wider, so this the gradient here changes compared to here. So this is, for me, it's perfectly plausible. The other part, this reflection from the frame, doesn't change, it shouldn't change. The values are kind of the same because the reflection of the mirror surface was kind of the same. The difference is really in the roughness of the surface. So if I go to bleeding edge radiance now, well, it's already 1 year old, I would be supposed not to do this using the photon map, which is, as we learned yesterday, it's available for the current release, but the one that I used was actually based on Radiance 3.7. So if I'm a standard user of Radiance, I would be told, okay, use GenBSDF, create a BSDF description of your fenestration system, use that. The first thing is here, I really have to think a lot about how to do that before I get anything as a model. The BSDF is acting like a material property. It's uniform over the area covered by the fenestration, so it's a spatially uniform BSDF. So if I would treat my whole fenestration as one, then what I would get is the same distribution here and here. Well, the lower part would probably be overshadowed by the light shelves. The upper part would actually contribute light from angles below the horizon, so they're far from being the same. So what I have to do as a user is to split my system. I have to modify the geometry. I have to take, in this case, the lower part, and then the upper part. I have to calculate two BSDFs. Then I have to take this BSDF. There's a handy tool called package BSDF, which is allowing me to get both the geometry and the BSDF into one file and get it placed into my scene as an instance. But still, when I did it the first moment, I was doing it wrong. Simply because in the first moment I was doing it wrong when I was calculating the BSDF because of the orientation you have to be aware of. In the second moment I was doing it wrong because the resulting BSDF came out at the origin, which was not where I had put it into GenBSDF, right? So you have to know quite of you must know the risks here. You must know what to check. Unless you don't have the geometry in there, it's really getting difficult. I mean, in this case, it's kind of easy because you can see the geometry. If I would have really just the VSDF, for example, or a flat device without any kind of geometry detail, I wouldn't be able to see it. I would have to run test scenes as David did with having the sun from below the horizon. So from a user point of view, this is a risk. If I do that, and if I have solved these problems, the results are very similar to what I had before. Kind of. For the upper part, I don't get four separate patches. I get one, because I had only one for this area, I had only one VSDF, which is average over the whole area. I do not get these reflections here, because for the lower part, again, the VSDF is average, and the light arriving on the ceiling here in the previous renderings was coming only from this small area here. So this is kind of canceled out of my VSDF when I'm averaging it. However, the overall results are correct. I just have to make an estimate before whether I need the information. Do I need this right? And whether I need the information here that this is actually four patches or not. In this example, if it's an office, I could say I don't care. But again, it's one case where I must know in advance. I must know before I have the simulation. These, Greg, I'm sorry, this is bad ambient settings. This is nothing about VSDF. One thing which is actually interesting here to see, for the scatter mirror, you kind of see, you see it here. This is the light shelf of the scatter mirror, which is visible. And, sorry, I don't have it here, but... Actually, my captions are wrong. No, it's not. So I have it visible, while for the clear mirror I wouldn't see it. So the scatter mirror leads to some luminance which is reaching the eye from that area too, even though the direct spectral reflection would point to the ceiling. If I compare for the photo map and the VSDF approach here, and I just zoom into my image, the resolution didn't get higher. I see the differences in better detail, but overall I could say, okay, qualitatively it's okay, as long as I don't need the details, which is just averaged out. So, this was about complex fenestration systems, and we are doing all this new VSDF stuff for complex fenestration systems, the big topic. However, I think one very crucial topic here, when we are generating the VSDF, the complex fenestration system, is how to treat the underlying VSDF of the material that we use to build up this model. And I think we have to be especially careful with these subtle differences in between the roughness and the scatter properties when we are not directly using these materials, but we are using them to derive the material that we will use, because it's getting less transparent, and actually if we have error there, it might multiply into our results. So what we did, we got several samples of this aluminium mirrors, and we got them measured. The device has been shown before, so Peter measured them for us, and he was also nice enough to give us some fits, because he has set up this nice workflow now for his building materials database. So we gave him these mirrors. We cut the fits for the parameters for A4 to A5, which is actually the specularity and the roughness. For the RGB values, we didn't care in this case because we really wanted to see the distribution. And if I look at the results for these two mirror surfaces, first, this is a logarithmic scale. You have the evident difference between the very sharp peak on the left, which is really like a perfect mirror. I mean, you can't get much closer to perfect. And the very nice, smooth, still a peak on the right for the scatter mirror. But don't understand that wrong, because it's a logarithmic scale, this is a clear peak. It's far from being diffuse. Even some vendors sell this as a diffuse aluminium reflector. This is a sharp peak. If you would look into it and have the sun reflected, it would be quite uncomfortable for you. So we get this data, and what we do now with this data is we need to fit our radiance model to this data. And this has been a long discussion, and in every workshop someone is showing a presentation about how well the models fit, and now Greg even presents a new BSDF model, so maybe these things improve again. So the red line is actually the radiance metal, or well, I transfer it into a mirror material type in my scene, and the green one is the measured data. And well, I see you clearly can understand that that part here, even though it's a logarithmic scale, it works quite well. You have a decrease here for both towards the normal, which is as expected. And if I would look at this plot, I would say, okay, it's actually very useful to replace such a material by a mirror material type, so all this looks very nice. That part doesn't really look that nice, but you could say this is several orders of magnitude lower than the peak, so in many applications I could neglect. My question will be, can we neglect this when we generate BSDF data out of it? I don't have the answer. I think it's something worth to discuss. The other the scatter mirror is a bit worse, in my opinion, because what happens here is, in radiance we have this Gaussian shape of the peak, and obviously the peak that we measured here was not Gaussian. So this is like a straight line. It means it's like a logarithmic fall off that we observe. So to get all this which is outside of our peak into our model, the fit actually added a diffuse component here. The diffuse component is why you could see the light shelf in the rendering. Actually, in the measurement here, there is almost nothing reflected, so we wouldn't have seen it. But in our model, we have some reflection here. It's independent of the angle, so we can see it through the window. And this is actually something, again, where we have to, I think we have to think again whether this will affect the results when we even start to generate BSDF data using such basic material models at the moment. The trend here is perfectly working fine. I think the fit for that part is okay. And I think the critical part is really the beam shape here. So for the basic material definitions that I used for my light shelf here, as I said, they don't really match the Gaussian beam shape that we are expecting when we're using radiance as a model fit. For the scatter mirror, it's even so close to a logarithmic fall-off that one would like to immediately implement some material model for that. This compensation that the fit did for the scattered part, which is outside of my beam, is actually critical because it gives me light where I wouldn't see it, actually. And as I said, this all may not be that relevant for a typical simulation, because I can still say, okay, almost all of my light is contained within the beam, and I don't care about everything else of the air, but if I claim to be able to generate a BSDF from it, it may be more tricky. And where the very basic and obvious rule of thumb is, of course, Gen BSDF can never create a better result than the materials models that we fed in are able to describe. So we have to be very careful about that. The next material class that I wanted to look into in deeper detail was the fabrics, because there's about
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, I have to run a bit. So, well, for the classic scene, this is not a surprise that it works. For the photo map, it works the same way. It's not a problem without there is some noise, as I mentioned. For BSDF, question to Greg. I have no idea why this remains black, because I should see the scattered light from the sun when looking directly at it. But the results for the ceiling are the same. So the algorithm supported. It's not clear why this remains black, but we have to look at how defined the trends. So again, we measured one example here. We have the transmissive peak, and we have a perfectly flat diffuse component. We make a fit of it, and it really doesn't work, and it's even worse. So the trend here goes a different way. So for measured, for fabric, the spectral component decreases, and for the model, because it's a mirror of the plastic reflection model, it decreases. So if I use this,
in my models and do a glass study and I don't think about it, I will get completely wrong results, because I would say this is performing very poor for high solar angles, right? So I think this is an example where we really have to look into the basic material models and whether we find a better way to treat this kind of fabrics. I will skip this. I wanted to point out the complexity that we got with BSDF and all the topic of climate-based simulation, which is making life of the user not easier for us. But of course it adds new features for us, so we kind of have to accept it. However, I see without NK-ILUM it's really hard to use it if we have a scene like this. And if I want to have a glare study, I must include that. I can't use an empty office space without external obstructions, so I'm really bound to that, and it doesn't really work for me in the use case at the moment. So what I wanted to discuss as a further development field for now, which is something that we would like to contribute to, although it's really hard to read now. We have, during the last presentation, we have seen that almost all tools have implemented a photo map at the moment, but mainstream radiance doesn't. I think this is a problem for a user. We have GenBSDF, which is perfect for special uniform materials or structures, which can be used, for example, to build up libraries, where it's not a problem that I have to care about orientation and all that. I think it's really a problem when I can't reuse it, and if I must do all these assumptions before I know the result. So what I think is we really need some, either the photo map extension available in mainline radix, we must be able to communicate it to users. We must not tell them that it's not available or not to use it, because there are certain cases where it's really the tool to use or the tool to go for. And one thing that I would actually really like, and this is something I would like to ask, whether it's thinkable to introduce a tool like NK-ILUM for this RT contrib for workflows again, because I think it should be possible and it would be of big help for any use cases. For the basic BSDF models, I think we should consider adding new ones. We would like to contribute some new ones. I think one problem that we have at the moment is there is no such thing as a modular approach there, so we have to change the whole code base if we want to add a model for fabric. So this is a huge request to change, but this would allow actually everyone who needs it to add some model without modifying the whole code and adding a new branch of radiance which isn't supported 2 years later. So I think this would be a help both for development of, and also for the users who could kind of rely on built-in materials better than on cal files and mix files and workarounds which are not really easy to fit to measure data. So I hope it was clear that I didn't want to poke around the weaknesses of radiance here. That's really not my intention. The intention is really to identify fields where we can have some useful combined development reports, so that we don't have these divergent directions where we find out 2 years later that our development doesn't work with the mainstream. So thank you very much, and I hope for discussion.
We don't have so much time for questions. We're already more than 10 minutes late for the lunch, but please come and talk to Lars during the break session and the dinner tonight in the boat tour. So we should have plenty of time to get what we need from him. So now we'll cross to the Ghent team, like yesterday. Let's drive.